You scarcely need reminders that gas prices are up, that airlines have cut flights and destinations and services and raised ticket prices. So perhaps it's not surprising that more and more of us choose to travel by train. Last year, Amtrak says it carried some 25 million passengers. They're even busier so far this year. Catherine Watson often rode the rails when she was travel editor of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, but rarely in this country. Recently, she decided to try Amtrak on a trip from Minnesota to New Mexico and wrote a story about it called Romance of the Rails that appeared last week in the San Francisco Chronicle. You can find a link to her article on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Call and tell us why you travel by train or not. Our number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And Catherine Watson joins us now from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio in St. Paul. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Nice to be here.
And why all that time without trying the rails in this country?
It never crossed my mind. I had been traveling the way everybody else did, by air and or car, and I was frustrated with that, and a friend of mine a while back said when I was going to come to visit her in New Mexico, I was angry because I couldn't get there fast and couldn't get there easily. And finally I thought, maybe I could drive, but gee, it's
That's
several days.
A long way,
she
yeah.
said, why don't you take the train?
And you said this had just not occurred to you, and yet
it really hadn't.
You got to ride three of the most famous trains in American history.
Yes, I did. The Empire Builder down to Chicago, the city of New Orleans down to New Orleans from there. And the Sunset Limited West, which goes all the way to the coast, but I got off in El Paso.
And the trip obviously took, like driving, several days.
Several days, but it was more fun. It's nice not to be steering, and you could talk to people. It was just amazing. People talked, people had real conversations. Kids ran up and down in the aisles because they weren't strapped in a seat and crying. And people played cards, people read. You watched movies that Amtrak was showing. The food was good.
The food was good.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of amazing to me.
Kind of amazing to me, too, and I ride Amtrak sometimes.
Amtrak has been trying to put regional foods on its long-distance trains so that there's some sense of the place. They had catfish on the city of New Orleans, for example.
I ride the trains mostly in the Northeast Corridor, and they may have had catfish, too, but what they were calling it, I'm sure it was something else.
I'll bet they didn't have catfish.
No, I think
I'll just
not.
Bet they didn't.
a very tired roast beef sandwich, but
yeah.
That's the difference between riding one of these long-distance trains. And you got to invest, cost extra money, but you got the roomette, the sleeping berth.
Right. That was my treat. The fare, basic fare, is not too bad. What makes it expensive is a roomette, which is about $360 for two people. And since I was traveling alone, it was kind of a bite for me. That includes the night's sleep and all meals. So
but
it's
not quite as awful as it sounds. Nevertheless,
no.
a pretty
if it's
expensive.
A couple, it's...
Yeah, I was surprised, though, the number of people you found who said they did it, traveled by train, because they got great deals. Not merely great deals because gas was high. Great deals.
It's last-minute travel. It was especially noticeable at between Chicago and New Orleans, where there are a lot more towns. Once you get out west, there are fewer towns, fewer stops, fewer demand. But on these sort of short hops between towns going south, there were lots of people who'd get on in one town, say St. Louis, and get off a few hours later or half a day later. And for them, several people told me it was cheaper at the last minute to do that than take the Greyhound,
which I
have no idea.
Astonishing.
I didn't try
it
that way.
And believe me, you don't want to ride the Greyhound. But you were talking about discovering the difference between transportation and travel.
Right. Right. This, if you looked at it as transportation, the airplane is always going to win, even if it's uncomfortable and you have to pay for your own luggage. If it's travel, which is what I would have done in Europe, where you talk to people, you look out the window, you relax, then Amtrak holds up very well.
Yet they are notorious, especially out west, for being late.
Yes, and it's not their fault. So I feel sort of defensive about this. I'm sort of the Amtrak cheerleader, I guess, right now. The rails are owned by Amtrak out east, where you ride them.
Mm-hmm.
So the trains, by and large, run really well on time. The western routes are owned or leased or run, anyway, by foreign Canadian carriers, by freight railroads, and not by Amtrak itself. So Amtrak is supposed to have, passengers are supposed to take precedence, but if it's me or a load of food that's going out west, the food's going to win.
And obviously the commercial rail travel has been exceptionally heavy as exports and imports increase.
Absolutely. Yeah, much more pressure on the existing services.
Yet did you find the passengers willing to tolerate the lateness?
They were till they got tired. The shorter haul people didn't mind. And the people who didn't have a set schedule like mine didn't mind either. But one lady I met, she was stranded sort of with the rest of us four or five hours west of San Antonio, while three different trains, as we heard it, were moved by the same crew. So it got late. She was trying to get to a high school graduation. And she said finally her grandkid would be out of college by the time she got there.
Can get frustrating. Our guest is Catherine Watson, the former travel editor of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, wrote a story called Romance of the Rails for the San Francisco Chronicle about a recent visit from her home in Minneapolis to New Mexico. If you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255. Why do you ride the train or not? Or you can send us an email, talk@npr.org. Let's start with Lauren, and Lauren's calling us from Ames in Iowa.
Yes, I am. Thank you for taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you.
I was just calling because I actually, my freshman year in college, was strapped for cash and couldn't get a plane ticket to see my sister out in Colorado. And from Burlington, Iowa, out to Glenwood Springs, I saw so many things I would never see driving on the road. Going to the mountains mm-hmm. was just beautiful, and they have a sightseeing car that you can pretty much look up, and they have windows that just cover the entire ceiling of the car. So,
oh, the dome car, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Instead of sleeping in a sleeper car or in my seat, I actually slept under the stars. So it was phenomenal. I absolutely loved it, and I've been trying to talk my friends into coming with me ever since, but it hasn't exactly worked.
Yeah, what's amazing is you see how big the country is, and you don't have to be worrying about maps or stopping for gas. You just get to look.
Exactly. And on the way back, we had a seven-hour delay, but that gave me plenty of time to explore the city of Glenwood Springs and see what they had to offer. So I didn't really find it a curse. I found it a blessing, and I absolutely love riding the train.
Great.
Thanks very much for the call, Lauren.
Thank you.
And you write about being able to see things from a train you never would have seen from an airplane. For example, just the seemingly prosaic sight of hay being baled in the fields.
Hay being baled, cotton, little small towns. You know, it's always the backyards that trains are going through. And I love that. It's like this cross-section of life. And it beats looking down on clouds, pretty as clouds are. Mm-hmm. I used to feel when I was flying that I was just up there and they'd move the world underneath me. And with a train, you know exactly where you are and how long it takes to get to, I don't know, Marathon, Texas. It's different. It was kind of like being reminded of being American again.
Let's get Neil on the line. Neil with us from Hastings, Florida.
Yes, sir. My son works for a United States airline, and he works in South Florida. And I live in North Florida, and I find it much more enjoyable to get on the train here near Jacksonville, Florida, and take the Orange Blossom Special, is what uh-huh. it is. It's coming from further north, all the way down to Miami to visit my sons and grandchildren. Flying on the airlines is like a torture, you know. I feel I'm 6'2", weigh 250, stuck in a cramped little plane. Even when I look out and look at the Cape as we fly by, I still have an uncomfortable feeling. Can't wait to get there. Whereas on the train, and like your speaker was saying, you get to look out the window and see Florida go by you, the three different type of environments you go through, the orange fields and the local people, and plenty of leg room, and can take a nap and enjoy it. So I really like the train.
The leg room, Catherine, that was one thing you noted, and a lot of the people you spoke with noted as well, that you have as much room as you would in first class on an airplane.
Possibly more, because the seats are also quite a bit wider. They're wide. They almost completely recline. They were the best seats that I've been in on a public transportation thing, except for maybe those gorgeous little pods that you get in super, super first class on international flights, which I've never been able to afford.
I see them on the way back to economy.
Yeah, me too. Me too. These were amazing.
Thanks very much for the call, Neil. When are you going back down to see your grandchildren next?
Probably in the end of summer. I'll be seeing before school starts.
Well, that should be a wonderful trip.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good time.
Bye-bye.
Let's see if we can get Gary with us. Gary's calling from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Thank you very much. Well, I just took the train from Portland to Chicago. I had a long delay also, but I have to say that if I had taken a plane, it would have been 3 or 4 hours and traveled to and from the airports.
Yeah.
Instead, I was city center to city center, so I don't mind that delay. I think that Amtrak has a long way to go before they have really, really good passenger service. However, there were not very many good explanations about the delay. Somewhere along the line, they lost a sleeping car, and those people had to be accommodated in the dome car. We didn't really have full access to the view. Although, I must say, the view from Portland to Chicago goes through Glacier Park. I really recommend the trip. It's quite wonderful.
Yeah.
As mentioned, the scenery from the train and the big windows and the comfortable seats is really good. And I would just like to put in a pitch for more budget for Amtrak. I mean, I think that Congress has just increased the budget twice. It's not even $4 billion, which is, you know, only like a few miles of inner city freeway cost. If they had a lot more money and we could build some new rail lines, we would be well on our way to saving the energy we need to save in the future.
Absolutely.
Gary, thanks very much for the call.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. We're talking with Catherine Watson about her article, Romance of the Rails, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And you do talk about the Amtrak subsidy. This is an annual battle here in Washington, D.C., as various members of Congress. Amtrak tries to route its trains through as many congressional districts as possible.
Yes.
in that sense. But this is just a shadow of what it used to be.
Yes, and it's sort of a shadow of what it could be. The they did just get House approval on what will be about $15 billion in money they haven't got yet. But if it goes through, I think the Senate passed something recently that will do about the same thing. So they have to work out all of the kinks. But it's a five-year appropriations bill that would let them do a lot as a national service, but also give money to some states to improve their own local rail. So we're getting there. I think the gas crisis might actually help Amtrak.
Let's see if we can get David on the line. David with us from Denver, Colorado.
Hi. Just wanted to say that I took a train trip with,
Yes, go ahead.
Took a train trip with my son a couple of years ago from Denver to Portland. I wanted to make sure he got a chance to do a train trip before they went out of existence. We experienced a lot of the same things, delays that Amtrak is supposed to have, I guess, right of way, but there were a lot of delays for freight trains to go through. The food was excellent. It was the menu was pretty much the same every day, but the food was excellent. The view was kind of tough in I think Utah and Nevada because it just didn't seem like it ever changed.
Isn't that though part of the experience? You could go on and on and on, and there's a whole lot of nothing out there.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. But I kept falling asleep. But that, you know, it was just so relaxing. I brought books to read, but I slept most. I took a long nap every day.
Well, David, thanks very much for the call.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye. And I did want to ask you, you did mention, Catherine, that you have gone on, the famous Orient Express and that sort
yes.
of thing and written about those experiences. How do you find that the Amtrak travel in this country compares? I mean, those are super luxury vehicles there.
Nothing compares to the Orient Express, which is something like $1,500 for an overnight, or was when I did it. It's much more now. But if you compare it to other landscapes, which is maybe a better way to go at it, It may look like nothing out there out west, but crossing Russia on the Trans-Siberian or the India Pacific across Australia, especially that one, there's nothing out there except that it's kangaroos and it's Australia and you're someplace exotic. If you look at our landscape, our western landscape, even just the grasslands with no trees, without the eyes of someone who's an American, it's exotic too.
Let's get Jen on the line. Jen with us from Kansas City in Missouri.
Well, good afternoon. When I was in sixth grade back in 1986, we took my entire family on the train. We had two sleeper, pods that we took from Newton, Kansas, all the way up to Buffalo, New York. My dad had a bowling tournament in Niagara Falls, and he decided that year we were going to go by train. We had such a good time. We learned to play poker in the lounge car. We got to look at all the wildlife crossing all the bridges. And it was a really great experience. I know many years ago, but I had a great time, and I know my younger brother, who was very, very young, remembers the trip fondly as well. And, I mean, I traveled in Europe on trains, and I can't say I remember any difference from my experience between the two. So it was a really, really good time.
Catherine, on your trip, did anybody offer to explain the principles of Texas Hold'em?
No, we played cribbage. They tried to explain cribbage to me, which I've never learned.
I haven't learned that one either.
Jen, there are still train trips, I guess, left in your future then?
Actually, yes. We were talking about taking a trip from Kansas City to St. Louis for the four of us and my current family, my husband and two daughters. It's $150 round trip for the four of us, and that's a really good deal. So that's what we're planning to do in the future.
Have a great time, Jen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And Catherine Watson, thank you for joining us to tell us about your journey today.
You're welcome.
Catherine Watson, the author of Home on the Road, a collection of travel essays. Her article, Romance of the Rails, appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle. And again, you can find a link to it on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. She joined us today from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio in St. Paul, Minnesota. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.